Do not think that I came to bring peace on the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be the members of his household. So far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Contend earnestly for the faith that has once for all been delivered. These passages and many others like them, I think sometimes causes us confusion. Jesus says that He did not come to bring peace, but a sword. That our enemies would become those of our own household. Paul teaches us that we should be at peace with all men so much as it depends on us. Then Jude says, contend earnestly. That is to fight for the truth. I want to suggest to us that as we think about this idea, there are going to be religious differences. There are religious differences in our world. As I discussed briefly last Sunday morning, there are truths that are taught in the Scriptures about the church that many do not adhere to or believe. It causes friction and difficulties between families, between friends. This morning, I want to talk to us a little bit about religious differences. Because whoever you are, you're going to run into someone who differs with you in what you believe. You're going to talk to those, either of your family. It might be a boyfriend or girlfriend. It might be a spouse. It might be your children, your grandchildren, your grandparents, your next door neighbor, people you work with, people you go to school with. At some particular point in time, a religious discussion breaks out. Someone has rightly said that attitudes govern our actions. And when we stop to consider our attitude about things, about right and wrong, and about being saved and being lost, those are very serious things. And we become very passionate about those things. But if our attitude is not right, we can come across in a bad way. We need to understand that unscriptural attitudes also result in unscriptural actions. If my heart is not right, I may say and do things that are not right, even though I may be arguing something that is right. Did you get that? I want to talk to you a little bit about this idea of religious differences and the attitude that we must have when we discuss and talk to people about truth. The first thing is that truth is first. That's important for us to establish in our own hearts first. Is that truth is to be first in our thinking. How many times have you thought a particular way about something religious or spiritual? And then someone pointed out to you the Word, or you studied for yourself and you looked at God's Word and you found out you were wrong. Has that ever happened to you? Me too. Now we're left with a choice. Do we continue to believe what we've always believed? Or, when we look at the Word of God, do we now believe the truth and change what we believe? Well, truth is first in all aspects of our life. Truth doesn't change because of my family. Whether you're talking about marriage and divorce, you're talking about salvation, whatever you're talking about, truth is first, regardless of our families. Remember what Jesus said a little bit later. I mentioned to you this morning, Matthew 10, verse 34, down about verse 37, Jesus continued and said about, after saying, "I didn't come to bring peace but a sword." He says, "He that loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me." That is pretty radical. So what that means practically is, if you believe one thing and your parents believe something else, what's going to settle the argument in regards to religious things? It's the truth. We may study the truth and find out we're both wrong. We may study the truth and find out what is right. And then there may be a division between your father and your mother and you. Jesus says you're going to have to make a choice. Even between your friends. You see, I'm afraid that we have become of such a nature that we don't want to be contentious. While Jude 3 says, contend for the truth. We would rather not fight. The title that is usually given in any kind of religious disagreement, "I'm not interested in fussing and fighting. I'm not interested in arguing." So there's no discussion. So are we to conclude that any time we would discuss the Bible, that it has to be put under the category of fussing and arguing? I think God forbids that attitude. Yet, in discussing religious differences, does not give us the right to be ugly or unkind and to fuss and argue. I'm not sure that most people today really understand the difference in an argument and a discussion. I think when we get in that kind of situation, if one or both of us is beginning to feel a little bit of heat, we want to deem it an argument, therefore it's over. But here's another key point. We don't usually get in those kinds of situations for just a few moments because there's also a prevailing attitude among most people of the world, and that is, it don't matter anyway. Why go through all of this heartache? Why go through all of this difficulty? And it don't matter. You believe what you want to believe. I'll believe what I want to believe. After all, we're all going to the same place anyway. So just don't sweat it. I think that's pretty prevalent. So we don't discuss the truth with our friends because it don't matter. And I certainly don't want to discuss the truth and disagree with them because then they cease to be my friend. Wherever you grew up in some church, there were practices. There were things that the church taught, believed. And their worship service, their work mission is what you grew up with, and that's what you know. So anyone that would call attention to that as to disagree or to challenge, it's very, very offensive to people. They can't handle that. They can't deal with that. Because you're calling my baby ugly. That's what I grew up with. That's all I know. With that attitude, that's all they're ever going to know. Even if they're right. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, he said, examine yourselves, test yourselves whether or not you be in the faith. How do you do that? Brother Ronnie grew up in a denominational church. At some point in time, he was challenged to question. Michael was raised up, another one of our elders, in a denominational church. He was challenged to think about that. Attitude has all to do with whether or not you can handle that. What if this morning we were able to sit down and study a series of points from the Bible and we found out we were completely wrong? What would we do about that? I think that there are a number of us that have never, ever, ever been there. And we don't care one bit about even going there. Our personal likes and dislikes has nothing to do with it. May I humbly say, in no disrespect to God or His Word, there are some things that He says in here that I don't personally care for. You know why? Because it ain't what I want to do. Have you read those passages before? Be angry and sin not. I want to be angry. And I don't care to throw something and say something and do something. That's what I want to do. It goes against what I want. But what is first? Truth is first. So if I want to go to heaven, then what do? I got to learn to control my temper. I got to learn to do better. I don't care who you are. You're not an exception to that truth. Notice these passages. And there's just, these are just a few. Buy truth and do not sell it. It's like marry your spouse and don't get rid of them. It's the idea that when you get the truth, you keep it. Regardless of your family, your friends, or whatever. If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. Abiding in this word takes diligent study, work, and effort. If you've read the Bible one time, that's great. You've read the Bible one time. That doesn't make you a scholar. God doesn't expect us to be scholars. He expects us to be disciples. And a disciple is a learner and a follower of the word and the teacher. And you can't do either of those unless you get into the book. So Jesus says, you have got to abide in this. And I grew up where my family and I, we were not abiding in this. Someone pointed out to us as well that we were not doing what Jesus said do. That came as a great shock. I can look at this audience and I can see a number of you that at some point in your life, you had a great shock too. Because you come to realize that you were wrong. That's why lots of folks don't obey the gospel. They never, ever come to understand that that they're wrong. It's easy just to say, this doesn't apply to me, or that's not me. I'm the exception, when there are no exceptions. It doesn't matter who you are. God demands you put the truth first. Putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility. There's a good friend of mine that we've worked together. We served as elders together. I've held gospel meetings where he was the preacher at one point. Just a great man. Very humble. Very good man. But before he became a Christian, he was a heathen. He was a heathen. And he's told me many, many times. He said, I used to have the awfulest, filthy, dirty mouth that you've ever heard. And him telling me that now, I can't even begin to comprehend that that's the way he used to be. But you know, the Scripture says that you need to put away that filthiness. Now that's the truth of God's Word. Now your attitude about that, are you going to change or are you not going to change? Or are you going to do what you want to do? That's a challenge. Now, if I'm a teacher and I'm talking to you and trying to get you to stop cussing, that's going to make you mad. You're going to be upset because you're a grown man or you're a grown woman. I'll do what I want to do. Sure. But God says you're going to burn in hell if you don't change. Now that's crude language. But that's the reality. So make your choice. If truth is first, God says quit it. He says quit it. This particular passage demonstrates that those who do not love the truth... You see, loving the truth is where it begins. If you want to hear what's right. I've had people tell me, whether it's a marriage and divorce issue, or it was a salvation issue, or whatever it was, they began the study this way. You know what? It doesn't matter if I'm right or wrong. I just want to know the truth. Wow. That's the attitude to have. As opposed to someone saying, I ain't interested in studying the Bible. I'm not interested in learning what's right or wrong. And I'm not interested in you telling me that I'm wrong. I'm fine the way I am. Thank you very much. You see, attitudes govern actions. Unscriptural attitudes cause us to do unscriptural things. And at any point in time, whether it's you, your girlfriend, your mother, your father, your children, or your grandpa, if you get to the point that you are beyond and above and totally against just sitting down and discussing about what's right and wrong and examining your own heart to see if you're doing right, if you're unwilling to do that, you are lost and bound for eternal damnation. Could I say that any plainer? The Word of God is first. The truth is first. And people that don't love it, they're deceived and bound for hell and don't even know it. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Why seek first? Because truth, your life, the way you live it, that is the most important thing there is. Period. Eve had to make a choice. Adam had to make a choice. God said, don't eat it. The devil said, it's okay. How'd that work out for them? Same thing today. God says, don't do it. Devil says, I'll go for it. Unity is second. Unity is very, very important. There are a plethora of scriptures that we could look at. But one, Psalms 133 and verse 1, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity." I must say to you from my own experience at home, when my wife and I are playing the same key and singing the same song, everything's lovely. Unity is great. Disunity, division, discord, ain't no fun at all. May I suggest to us that unity is less important than truth? That's why Jude 3 is so important. Contend earnestly for the faith once for all delivered. And that is simply this. There is a difference in union and being united. This illustration may help. Take two cats, tie their tails together. Sorry, cat lovers. Take two cats, tie their tails together and throw them over a clothesline. Now, they are in union, but there is not unity. They will fight to the death. I'm sorry to say that I have witnessed that. I didn't do any tying, and that ain't good. Sometimes we take the position that, okay, there's a problem that comes up in a church. There's a problem that comes up in our home. There's a problem that comes up with whomever. What is the best way? Let's just have union and let's just forget about the truth. That's two cats' tails tied together and thrown over a clothesline. Young folks, you're dating someone that could care less about God. You're dating someone that won't come to church with you. You're dating someone that won't sit down and study the Bible with you. And you want to become united with them as husband and wife? Are you kidding me? Oh, you'll have union. Two cats on a clothesline. Unity is important. But the only thing that will have unity to be what it ought to be is first truth. You can have no unity without truth. And that's an important thing for us to realize. Division is sinful. There is no doubt. Division is sinful. And we should not ever, ever, ever participate in division except when. When truth has to be compromised. When you compromise truth, you must break unity. Let me show you a passage that relates to this a little bit for us. And there are a number of passages that we could look at. But look with me at 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And I'll just read a portion of this passage. You can look at it a little closer on your own. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, notice beginning at verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14. Paul says, "Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership or fellowship hath righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Or what harmony has Christ with Beelzebub? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God, just as God said, 'I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people.' Therefore come out from their midst and be separate, saith the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you, and I will be a father to you, and you shall be sons and daughters to me, saith the Lord Almighty." What's important here for us to understand is that division does happen because there is a compromise of truth. We cannot compromise truth, ever. With anyone or any place. That's a hard truth. Sacrificing everything but truth for unity is sometimes what it requires. May I suggest to us today, as we think about this kind of topic, is that we must be willing to look at all sides of an issue. We're talking about attitude this morning. What is my attitude toward the truth? What is my attitude towards being united? What is my attitude toward going to heaven? I need to be able to examine both sides of the issue. Now, what if I'm not willing to do that? Then I might be closed-minded. Do you know why I believe what I believe? Because I don't want to listen to anything else, and I'm not going to hear anything else, and I won't even begin to listen to the fact if you think I'm wrong. Because I believe what I believe, and that's what I believe, and that's it. Forget it. Even if you are right spiritually, and you've got that attitude, you are wrong. That's important to understand. Quick example. Saul of Tarsus. His attitude before he became a Christian. I'm right. That's the way it is. But he was wrong as wrong could be. Are you right? You sure? God bless you if you are. But what if you're wrong? Well, if I'm wrong, that means my dad was wrong. That means my grandpa was wrong. That means that he that loveth father, mother more than me is not worthy of me. Remember that truth? I'm telling you, I don't care who you are or where you're from, that is difficult. Going through the mental gymnastics of that, it's emotionally draining. It's difficult to do that. But we must do that if we love the Lord. Are you prejudiced? Oh man, all we hear today on the news and stuff, somebody is being racial. Somebody's, you know, being ugly or unkind or fair or... That's been in religion for a good while. People are very prejudiced. Well, I was raised Church of Christ. My daddy was Church of Christ. My grandpa was Church of Christ. I'm going to be Church of Christ. Why? I don't know, but I'm Church of Christ. That's ignorance. That's foolishness. Do you not understand why you are what you are? Biblically, from the truth? I think some people are afraid they might find out they're wrong. If I don't study it and I just kind of close my eyes and don't look at it, well, I'm fine. God's going to bless you that way? Black people. Well, we know what black people are like. Oh, if that person wears one of those things around their head, we know what kind of people they are. What do you call that? Sinful is what you call that. What's the difference? When we make that same kind of comment spiritually. Well, Church of Christ people, they believe they're the only ones going to heaven. I ain't going to have anything to do with them. Is that what you believe? Is that what you heard? Someone that is maybe not even a true spiritual, in fellowship with God person, told you that. Now you just buy that hook, line, and sinker. Hmm. You know, there are lots of things that are said about the church. There are lots of things that are said about God. There are lots of things that are said about the preacher. There are a lot of things said about this church. What if everybody just believed every little fallacy, any kind of hypocritical statement that went out, they just believed it? At what point do you stop and say, I think I'm going to look into that and see if that's true? The attitude to search truth is demanded of God. We must be flexible in matters of expediency. Now, I'm not going to talk a lot about expediency this morning. That's a whole other thing that we need to discuss and talk about. I will talk about that, Lord willing, tonight, because this particular topic has caused many a division in churches. Because folks could not determine the difference between an expediency and making a change in the law. I'll give you an example. Just an example. Over 100 years ago, our brethren, decided they were going to introduce the mechanical instrument of music in worship. And the way they were going to introduce that was saying that it's just an expedient. After all, we have a water fountain. Well, water fountains and mechanical instruments of music are not apples to apples. But the argument was made that it's an expedient. It's just a help. Well, the only thing wrong with that is that mechanical instruments of music are not expedients. So what brethren did that was making the argument that it was an expedient, they brought it into the churches and said, it's an expedient, it's just helping us, but if you don't like it, tough, we're going to bring it in anyway. It ceased then, right or wrong, of being an expedient, right then it ceased to be profitable or an expedient when you force it. We should, in regards to truth and unity, do all that we can to be flexible in matters of expediency or judgment or opinion. When any of us steps up and says, my opinion rules, we have ceased to be following the truth and we have destroyed unity, therefore we have sinned. You may be familiar with brethren that use one container for the Lord's Supper. They want to argue that that is an expedient, or that it's a matter of law, but it's actually an expedient. Did you know that we could throw away all of these multi cups and just use one cup, and we would still be expedient, and we'd still be doing what God wanted us to do? But what if we said you have to have multi cups in order to go to heaven? Most brethren, let alone the world, has got a clue as to how to go through the mental gymnastics of that. Number two, they could care less about going through the mental gymnastics of that, because they can go back in history, just like you can go back in history, and then they can determine that arguing about it doesn't do anything but just cause a problem. So we just won't talk about it. Now, I'm introducing to you a number of things that maybe you haven't thought about. Maybe a number of things that you've never studied it. That's my point. Someone comes in, wants to be a member. Maybe one of our elders says, you know what would be really expedient and profitable? You know what would really help our singing? Here's what would help our singing. Somebody needs to get up here and play a piano. And that would be profitable. That would be expedient for us. Now, how would we go through the mental gymnastics of identifying the truth to show that that is either right or wrong? Which one of you could do that? You can't just always depend on one or two people doing it for you. You need to do the mental gymnastics. Well, that's probably where we haven't gone much. We haven't thought about that. So what that then is the seedbed for is for division and apostasy in the future. We have to be able to understand why we do what we do. We have to understand the truth about that. We must be willing to do the Lord's work in a way that all can agree and remain united. So what was the right thing to do back there in, over 100 years ago when brethren said that the piano is an expediency? Well, all of those that objected to it and said, we don't believe that's right, even if they couldn't prove their point, the brethren that were trying to introduce it would have said, look, if this is going to cause a problem, it's going to cause division, we will not use it. That would have been the right thing to have done. And let's study it before we introduce something that we're not sure about. But that's not what happened. There were brethren that forced it, and they forced a division. Now, I could name you a whole bunch of other topics throughout the last 150 years that has divided the Lord's people. And you know why it divided the Lord's people? Because the majority of people sitting in the pew don't know which end is up or down. And they don't want to talk about it because it caused a problem. We must love one another. Accept each other as sincere. Sometimes people suggest things and talk about doing things, and they're not bad people. They're not trying to cause division. They're not trying to, you know, just cause everything to be upside down. They're just ignorant. They just don't know. So we need to accept each other as sincere. That's primary rule in truth. Number two, don't judge people's motives. Well, I know why he's doing that. We need to stop that. Number three, deal with issues and not personalities. Did you know that personalities conflict? There are some personalities amongst us right here that don't get along with other personalities. We must, as Christians, be able to look beyond the personality. If you can't, the truth will never be established. Be able to disagree but not be disagreeable. It was used quite often in yesteryear about brethren being in an objective case in the kickative mood. Now, if you've never taken much English and grammar, that probably doesn't mean anything to you. But I want to suggest to you, I can disagree with you, and you can disagree with me. Does that mean we have to be ugly and unkind to each other because of it? Most people say yes. If you don't like what I like, then I'm done with you. Alabama, Auburn. Tennessee, Kentucky. I remember the day when I got here about I was supposed to hate Lexington and love Lauderdale County. Don't tell me we don't have those kinds of attitudes. And don't tell me it don't come over into religion. It do. And it's wrong. Now, you're thinking, what in the world? Why did our preacher preach a thing like that? Well, I'm going to tell you why I preached a thing like that. It's because last Sunday we talked about a topic that would probably ruffle a lot of feathers in a lot of places. So here is the challenge to those kinds of truths that, in Jesus' words, doesn't bring peace, but a sword. What's the next step? Get mad about it and leave. I didn't like what he said. I'm done. What about you opening up your Bible and studying to see if what I said was right? What if I was wrong? Would you not be my friend? Would you not love my soul to show me? Oh, that would just cause an argument to try to study with a preacher. After all, a preacher is already closed-minded. I want to assure you, brothers and sisters in Christ, that in 40-plus years of preaching, I have changed my view on a number of things. I've been right, and then changed my mind and became wrong, and then found out I was wrong, and then changed and become right. And I believe things that probably I'm not sure if it's right or wrong. I'm still a work in progress. I'm still studying. I'm still trying to learn. I'm here to help you to understand one very important principle. I want you to care about the truth. I want you to care about what's right. And it don't matter if it's an elder, if it's a preacher, or one of our deacons, or whoever it is. Truth is first. And when we get the truth figured out, we can have unity. And when we get unity figured out, we can be God's people. And we can be strong. So the question is, are we two cats hung over a clothesline? Or do we have unity? Well, thank you for listening this morning. There's a few notes on the board. Oh, may I just be so bold to say that is controversial. Oh, maybe not with most everyone in this audience. But you may have friends that they're not going to agree with that at all. You may have a spouse that doesn't agree with that at all. You may have a child that doesn't agree with that at all. You may have a boyfriend or a girlfriend that don't even want to look at that. Is truth important? What if that's all wrong? What if that's just not correct? Does it matter? Someone has rightly said, it doesn't matter what you believe, only when it doesn't matter where you spend eternity. I can tell you right now, I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven. But the only way we can go to heaven is by God's grace, obeying His truth. May God help us to recognize the truth. May God help us by His wonderful grace that we can be saved. You've listened patiently this morning. Thank you so very, very much. You take your psalm books and turn to the selection that has been given. We'll stand and sing that song. Brother Ethan's going to come up and lead us. And if you're subject to heaven's call in any way, won't you come as we stand and sing?